This is the Ask Amberlee Show. This episode is brought to you by Manicure Magazine. It's my new health and lifestyle publication for people who read. Just so you know, it's $14.99 every 90 days and $59 for a year to get it delivered to your door. So it has all health and lifestyle things. Go to www.manicuremagazine.com and sign up to subscribe. All right. With that, I will introduce Reagan Charleston. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here on the Ask Amberlee Show.
Love it. I can't. Do I get to ask you things too?
Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh. You can ask me anything you want.
All right.
So, but I am excited to have you. And for people who don't know, you are from Louisiana. You grew up on the North Shore. You went to Mandeville High School, right down the street from where I went to high school. So, how did you like growing up on the North Shore?
I loved it. I mean, it's so it's so quaint and nice. I'm just glad that we have better restaurants on this side now.
Oh my gosh.
I'm on the South Shore though. Yeah. So when I come over here, it's to visit family. My brother and sister-in-law lost their house after Ida.
Oh gosh.
And they moved over here.
Yeah.
My mom and dad are over here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, it's home still.
Yeah. That's good.
And it's so cute.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I got you over here. So
I'm not mad
for the
about
day.
It.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, it really is. It's like coming home.
Yeah, I got you. It is. It is. So because I've moved away, I moved out of state for a while and then came back. You know, it always pulls you back in. So there's something charming about it.
It's really charming. And it's grown so much that sometimes I'm like, when did this like get put up? Like, how quickly did they build this? Or there's a new development or something. And I think about, you know, all the summers I spent on the river and things were so much different.
I know.
This was a long time ago, but.
Yes. Did you used to go on Bogachita, like tubing?
Chafunkta. No, I am not a tuber.
Yeah.
You are never going to catch me tubing as long as I live.
But are you afraid of alligators?
I'm afraid of everything.
Everything.
Bacteria in the water. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of runoff from the farms.
Well, now I'm never going to tube ever again. Thank you for that.
Sorry.
So, no.
I'm so sorry. It's just so gross.
No, I'm afraid of alligators, honestly. So.
Oh, that just, too. And snakes and bugs. Yeah. And like there are very few things that I would rather do less than that.
Well, I'm glad you're in Louisiana still, even if you're on the South Shore. Love that. I love going to the South Shore. You know, it's a nice like dip in and the city experience.
I live by the lake, so I've moved.
Okay.
And I'm just far enough away from like the kind of hustle and bustle, like 10, 15 minutes, but I'm still close enough.
That's perfect.
That I can do everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love it too. I'm never going to leave Louisiana. Like, I am a Louisiana girl through and through.
Okay.
I will never
leave.
I might go somewhere for a few months.
Yeah.
But this is home ultimately forever.
Okay. I like it. Well, okay. So did you start your Reagan Charleston jewelry line first before becoming an attorney, or were you an attorney and then the jewelry line and then reality TV, or what? So what's your journey?
Anxiety, my journey. Well, I was in undergrad.
Okay.
And I went to Italy and I fell in love with the lion door knockers in Florence. And my grandparents had an art gallery in the French Quarter in New Orleans.
Okay.
And I just really like wanted to commemorate my time in Florence. And it just felt like still to this day, Florence feels like another home. Like I just always had this like connection with Florence.
Mm-hmm.
And I had found this door knocker there that I fell in love with in like 2007. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have it made. And a few years later, I went back to Florence and I'm like, oh, I'm just doing this. Like, I'm going to have it made. And of course, I knew like basically how, you know, everything is done.
Yeah.
And so I sat down and I sketched it out. I called the right people and had it produced. And it was just for me. And that was this one, the very first Leone. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I started wearing it, people were asking about it. I mean, like the day, first day I put it on, people were stopping me. Where did you get that? Where did you get that?
It's beautiful.
So thank you. Mm-hmm. I called and had a production run kind of kicked off. And I mean, it's like small. It was like, I just want like six sterling pieces. And I did brass, fine jeweler's grain brass. Mm-hmm. I think actually at the time, I think I was doing gold plated brass. But at any rate, I started making jewelry and it just became like a business like overnight. And I had boutiques here on the North Shore that wanted to purchase it. And at that time, by the time it kind of got going, I was out of school and I'd taken the LSAT when I was at LSU, always planned to go to law school. And I was married to my first husband and his life had kind of like taken over everything. It was, you know, everything was about him and his career. And then when he retired from the NFL, he'd gone to Tulane to get an EMBA. And so he did that. It was like a year program or something. And at the same time, I was watching all of my friends that I'd like blown out of the water on the LSATs and like just, you know, like always had a higher GPA. Yeah. And I'm watching them like finish law school and I was like sour grapes about it.
Yeah.
And I, at this time, I think we were already filming or had we'd signed our contract.
Okay. This is for Southern Charm New Orleans.
Is it in my first year? I don't know. I started doing TV like in 2010. Southern Charm New Orleans was the show that got picked up.
Okay.
So we'd already been around, you know, I'd been in and out of Hollywood for years pitching shows. We had another company that came down, another production company that filmed a sizzle reel. That one had been greenlit initially. And then some dispute between, it was actually two production companies. There were some like creative dispute and ultimately it just ended up like kind of going sideways. But then they came back and they pulled like their favorites from that cast, from that show and built Southern Charm New Orleans, which was not originally Southern Charm. It was just some like other show. Yeah. I don't even remember what it was like some stupid name. And then like halfway through the season, I think they decided, oh, this will be a Southern Charm franchise show.
Wow.
But all that's a very long-winded answer. I started my company before I went back to school.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think of like the time, because this would have been around 2015. I just decided that I'm going to law school and I like within days, like applied and was accepted and started. And it was
amazing
at the height of like all the Bravo, like craziness. And
I didn't know that.
I filmed all through law school, like finals. I would take a final and put a mic pack on and go film a show. And it was just so hectic and crazy and filming on campus because they were catching me, you know, going to and from school. And I don't know how I survived, but I did. And now I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
And growing that business. I work for a national firm, Hale, Steckwood, Kincrease, and Overholtz. And we do products liability. We do sex abuse cases. So and that's primarily my focus.
Okay.
Representing survivors of sexual assault and sexual abuse. And I work also in social media addiction, which is really ironic being that I love social media, but I'm an adult. So, you know, I think it's obvious why it makes sense to me. And, you know, I use it and I see how powerful it is.
Right.
But, you know, our children there should be some stricter rules there. And I won't bore you with all of those details, but we represent people all over the country. And it's been such a tremendous full circle journey that I'm getting to do this now. And I didn't have to give up my business. I've been able to somehow balance the two, being an entrepreneur and then also a lawyer. And it's been a beautiful experience. I love it.
Wow. Well, good for you. Yeah. I had no idea that you were in law school while you're filming. That's wild.
Oh yeah. Gosh. It was, I can't believe that I did it. And also like had straight A's. I mean, I was just all like A, like at the top of my class.
Yeah.
And, I did really well.
Well, you know, I feel like you're really good at pressure, obviously.
I love pressure.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting because some people actually genetically, like on a genetic scale, are wired for stress. Like they work so much better under pressure.
I love a deadline.
So you must have that gene.
I have to have it. Can I test for this?
Yes, you can actually.
So am I a genetic procrastinator? Like, is that a thing? I just love that like last minute. Like, or I love for something to like fall in my lap and it's like, you have to get this done and get it done by 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Like it's a rush. And it's just, I love it. I'm like, I'm dead serious. I love a deadline. If I don't have deadlines like pending, I'm like, what is life?
Or like a goal.
Yeah. But even though, I mean, like if I know I have something to do, it's like 30 days away. I'm like, not a big deal.
Okay.
Like so I love the rush. Like,
okay.
I love that like push.
You're a pressure junkie.
I think so. I don't know. But yeah,
Special type.
I'm kind of, maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do. I think too, it's just that like extra motivation.
Yeah.
And that like little push.
That is so, well, you know, there's something to be said for, I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, you can correct me, but I feel like just observing you, you're very good at dealing with, I would say you're impervious to people's opinions about you. Like, I feel like you're very resilient in that way, like very good at not giving into the haters or, you know, people who say anything. Like, you're just,
I don't have time for anybody but me.
Yeah.
And I think that that is something that I just don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, we've had this conversation before, that like, I'll find out like somebody I don't know, like has this like problem with me. And I'm like, I don't have time to talk to my best friends. I don't know you. I don't care about, you could fly to the moon.
Yeah.
And win like, you know, like the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't stop to think about it because my day is solely focused on getting the things done that I have to do and my children.
Yeah.
And like, that's it. So I think too, like my focus is where it needs to be. And you're going to love this.
Yeah.
You're going to love this.
Okay, so I'm ready.
Guess where I was earlier?
Where?
Getting my tarot read.
No, you did not.
Yes, yes, yes. What? So two of my colleagues are in from New York.
Yeah.
And they're in for the APSAC conference and children's rights. And anyway, so they're lawyers from New York. And every time they come to New Orleans, they're like, we have to get our cards read or get a palm reading or something.
Right. Yeah.
And this time I decided to schedule it. I was in South Carolina for an event. And this woman comes up to me and she like beeline straight for me. She's like, where are you from? I was like, New Orleans. And she's like, I knew it. She's like, my best friend is there. And she is a clairvoyant. And you have to meet her. And this is her number. And she just like dropped this like morsel of information and then like floated off. And I'm like, that was so unusual.
That is.
So then when I found out my friends were coming in, I'm like, well, let's go. Let's actually go and do the tarot reading. Somebody just gave me a contact. We'll call and see how it goes.
Yeah.
So I sat down with her earlier and I did my reading. And of course, I'm like dying to know about like one thing and one thing only because I'm just a total nerd.
Yeah.
It was like my love life. I'm like,
I knew that was going to come up. Tell me
all about it because I have been through the ringer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please like give me a sign like from the universe or God or like something. And she was like, yeah, you're married to your career. She's like, that's your partner. I'm like, I hadn't told her anything. Like, I wasn't like, I'm divorced. I have problems. I was just like, what does it say about my love life? And she's like, here's the justice card. Are you a lawyer? And she's like, okay. And she's like, yeah, this is about, you know, your business and your career and there's money. And no. You're married to your career right now. And there's not time for that. And I'm like,
well,
shake them, toss them again, like so shuffle the deck. Yeah. Let's see. And it was like every time it was the same answer.
Okay. Well, I feel like the good news, if you don't mind me like kind of probing in your field. Okay. First of all, before I get into that, do you know what I do?
Yes.
Okay.
For the most part, but you have to tell me, you have to fill me in more because I was trying to explain this to the tarot reader.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, guess where I'm going later? And she's like, that's not a mistake. That's not a coincidence. This is all serendipity. The universe is steering you into this day with all of these metaphysical things.
It's true. Yeah. So I am by trade a doctor of metaphysics and an alternative medical practitioner. So it's twofold. One side of that, the doctor of metaphysics part, is that I work with energy. So I'm looking at, it's kind of like Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. You can't see it, taste it, touch it, smell it. It's beyond the five main senses of perception.
Yeah.
But you can see the physical impact of it. So you can see the physical impact of Wi-Fi where you can stream things on your phone. You can, you know, the internet, all that kind of stuff. So I'm working with that, but on a human body scale. So the human body, like emotions and feelings and thoughts, you can't see them, taste them, touch it, smell it, but you can see the physical impact of it. So if someone you have a crush on walks into the room, your palms will start sweating. You'll have a physical reaction, right? But nothing actually happened. It's just something that you can't perceive. It's intangible, but that's energy. So that's what I'm tuning into when I'm working with someone. And all of this energy goes into patterns of information. It's kind of like an algorithm in a computer. So there's a program that comes
We've
out.
We've programmed ourselves.
Exactly.
Our energy. Yeah. And it also impacts your health.
Exactly.
I'm trying to be less like intense because I don't want to look old. But for no other reason. Like, I'm just like, this is aging me or I'm going to die when I'm 70 years old because of all of this stress and pressure, but I love the pressure. But I don't want it to age me. I'm like, well, oh dear.
It doesn't always age you.
Okay.
So it depends on how resilient you are to stress, which you are. You have a very high resilience towards stress and you thrive off of it. So that's a different ball game. You know, it's not like you're drowning with the stress. That's a different thing.
No, I drink wine though. Well, I love wine and the evenings. But I really like some days I'm like, yes, I love the pressure, but also I do like the stress. I'm like, oh God, my cortisol levels are probably so high.
Yeah.
But I need to go have like lab work done to see if I'm like killing myself with all the pressure. But the energy thing is so real. Mm-hmm. And if you think about something and you put all of your focus into that one thing, it will like happen.
It's
and
true.
You can like summon people, if you focus on them too much, it's like trying to focus on all the good things.
Yeah.
I try to do that. I have like my manifesto like on my mirror, which is really embarrassing. I had a birthday party at my house and it like rained. So we had all of these like kids coming inside from the pool party. And I forgot to tell everybody there's a pool bathroom. So all the moms were like, where do we go? And they were all like, oh, there's a bathroom in the foyer.
And
there's a bathroom
boards
in my bedroom.
On the mirror.
After they left, I walked into my bathroom and I was like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
My like list written on my mirror. That's like all of my deepest, darkest desires. And I'm like, every school mom has now seen this. Great.
That is so, look, I love that for you though. Mm. I think that's good that you're focusing your energy on what you do want. Cause that's healthy, you know? And I think one of your assets that you have for your health is, which a lot of people in the health community aren't talking about, which is what I want to bridge the gap with, is the willingness to be unliked, the willingness to be mean, the willingness to have a boundary is so important for health, because a lot of the time we can think we're being a good Southern woman or a good friend, or, and it gets very messy. At the end of the day, a lot of people who come to me who are sick have no boundaries. They are not willing to be mean. They're not willing to be unliked. And you have to have that. And I think you're really good at that. And I'm not calling you a bitch. I'm celebrating
it.
I think it's
unless
great.
You deserve it.
You're really not.
You're
straightforward.
I'm very straightforward. And I'm also like in my head all the time.
Yeah.
So the likelihood that I'm thinking about anything but myself or my kids, like very unlikely. I mean, like it's like slim to none that I'm like thinking about another person or what they're doing because I'm so wrapped up in like my own bullshit or like I got a divorce from like the love of my life and I have two small kids and I'm trying to do everything on my own.
You should be worried about that.
I'm like, I don't care about you. I've got a really like giant mortgage, like in cases for real people that matter. Like, who are you? Like, I don't stop to think about it. And then also I was telling my mom the other day, I was like, everything's easy if you don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't give a fuck. Like,
I
was painting the walls. I was like painting my brick walls in the backyard because I like woke up and I'm like, those need to be painted ivory. Like, I hate them. They're gonna be, everything's gonna be cream back here. And my mom was like, how did you do this? And I was like, Mom, everything's easy if you don't give a fuck. Like, I just slapped, if a frog got in the way, I was like, sorry, frog, like bug. I was just like, and they look great. But I'm like, I wasn't going to like stop to really like stress out about it.
Yeah.
I was just like, this needs to be done. And I think that can be applied to so many different areas, except for work. Like, I care so much about my work product and like getting it right. That that's something that I'm trying to work on for my stress level. While I like pressure, I'm so terrified of like getting something, not wrong, but like not having the best possible outcome. And I think it's because of the line of work that I'm in. And I'm not just dealing with simple matters. It's like people's lives. And, you know, my days are filled with talking to people who have had the most horrifying, traumatic experiences. And somehow I think because of what I've been through personally, and that's either reality television or, which was a, that's a nasty business to be in. It's horrible. You know, I've had like, I feel like tragedies with friendships and like things that kind of gave me a thick skin.
Yeah.
And then also with my own personal life, like my marriage and divorce was something that, I don't know. I think it's like once you go through the worst possible thing that you can imagine, it's like you have a different perspective. And so I think I've had a unique position as a counselor, attorney counselor,
right,
working with people that have been through such terrible trauma. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm able to receive it. And I just feel like I want to sit and listen to them and talk to them and get it right for them, because this is, you know, the most important thing that they'll ever do is come forward.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you talk about the other work, you're talking about people's children that have mm-hmm. been harmed. Mm-hmm. And I look at mine, and in both practices, I'm like, these children have been violated and now they're adults and it's completely derailed their lives. And then you look at the flip side of like the social media addiction work that I do and how these children have been harmed by platforms and corporations that don't care that they've harmed children.
Yeah.
And they've built products that are like harmful, intentionally mm-hmm. harmful.
Right.
And I'm looking at my little children and I'm like, if somebody ever hurt you. So that pressure for me is like, that does not apply to my, you know, everything's easy rule.
Yeah.
Because right. that's completely separate. I am such a nervous wreck about like getting it wrong. And one of my partners is like, you're great. Like, I trust you. Mm-hmm. Stop being that nervous about right. everything. Like, you have this, you've got the quality, go with your gut. Mm-hmm. And I do have that, but the pressure of like getting it right for them is, that's something that I really, you know, struggle with. I'm like the stress of like getting it right.
Yeah.
But fortunately I'm, you know, I'm a good lawyer
and yeah.
I'm surrounded by great lawyers and it's awesome. But in all of the other areas in your life, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what people think about you if you're a good person.
Yeah.
And I feel like the loudest people in the room that have the most to say are the ones that don't matter. Mm-hmm. And they're saying things because they don't matter.
Right.
And if you look around and you think about who the nice women are that you know, mm-hmm. the ones that are constantly doing things for their friends, they're the ones that have the most going on.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. I think that being immune to like that, the nagging negative yeah. energy mm-hmm. is, it's just something that you have to just come to terms with, that like yeah. bored people are trying to find a place. And it's like, you know, God, what, there's a saying, and of course I'm not, what, because I'm on the spot, I can't think about it. But
like if you want something done, give it to a busy person.
Give it that. No, but oh. it's something about like the loudest in the room.
Oh yeah,
you mm-hmm. know, the ones that have the most to say. Yeah, it's something like that. But
know the least. Or,
yeah, yeah, it's just yeah. like you just kind of have to like, you know, consider the source.
Yeah,
and I consider the source, baby, mm-hmm. and like all day, if I hear something from someone, I'm like, ew. Like, why do you think I'd care about you or what you have to say about it? Like, you yeah. loser, like, get a job, maybe. God, I'm like, that's literally, so funny. I'm like, ew. And like, people that yeah. are like really working and doing meaningful things don't mm-hmm. care about other people.
That's true. A lot of busy people don't have time
to
comment.
They don't have time yeah. to be like, you know, and I'm not saying like, you know, you should care about other people. Like,
yeah.
do the right thing.
Right.
Don't go meddle in other people's business and mm-hmm. affairs. One.
Right.
I don't care what somebody is doing. I don't yeah. care what kind of, you know, vacations they take, or if they're, you know, cheating on their spouse, or, you know, if they don't like their girlfriends or their right. gossip. I could care less.
Right.
Do you. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, just kind of putting your blinders on for that. And I don't know if that's just like in my like core being, or if it's learned from like reality TV mm-hmm. or, you know, being a woman in business, because by right. God, you better have balls of steel.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you want to try to go out there and make money and hustle and yep. grind. You can't care what people think.
Exactly.
And you have to be your own biggest advocate. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where that comes from. If it was like a learned, if it's like nature, nurture, I have no idea, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I do get frustrated when people are actively trying to like mess things up.
Yeah.
And I have confronted, like, not, I don't confront people because I don't ever give them the time of day. I mean, mm-hmm. even if they do it, I yeah. mean, like confronted it in life.
Yeah.
People that will go out of their way to try and like thwart you.
Yeah.
And like, and I'm like, where does this energy come from?
Right.
If you put half the amount of energy into doing your own thing and maybe building something of your own, like you would be so far ahead, as opposed to like trying to slow someone else down
yeah.
or like rain on their parade. Mm-hmm. And I think that as women, we have to deal with that so much more than men do.
Yeah.
And men are also honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're more like, you know, I don't like this guy. I want his job. I want his wife. Like they just go and do it.
Right.
But like women are like you said, they have to be pretend to be nice and they pretend. And it's like this big charade. And
yeah,
I don't understand it.
Well, I think also the program is if you're a woman doing that, you're a bitch. If you're a man doing that, you're just a man.
You're just a man.
You expect it from that. So I think women who tend to stifle what they're feeling or stifle what they're saying or, you know, manipulating their words to come out more in a nicer, softer way or whatever. It's a lot of pressure to keep that facade up because if you just let it burst and let it go and say like, I don't like you.
I don't like you.
Like a guy would say that to another guy. It's
I don't feel like I've ever had to say that to someone.
Well, yeah.
But I don't have to because I won't tell you like, hello, or I won't, I'm not going across the room and say like, oh, hey, how are you,
girl? But you're authentic. You're being authentic.
I'm like, you have been so rude or whatever. And I pretty much like everyone, but there are a few people I do not like. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they've earned that.
Yeah.
And I don't give second and third chances. Mm-hmm. And like, once you show me who you are, that's that. Unless I marry you. And then like, you can walk away from me. Apparently.
We'll get into that.
Yeah. But like, for like, you know, just kind of having a thick skin, I think that that is the most tremendous quality for being an entrepreneur, being a professional.
For sure.
And being a happy person. Mm-hmm. I stopped caring. And my mom told me that a long time ago. She's like, once you stop caring, you're going to be so much better off. Mm-hmm. And like, I really just focus on myself.
Yeah.
And it's not selfish. It's like, it's good for you.
It is. It's life-giving. Mm-hmm. It's focusing that energy on yourself instead of what everyone else thinks, whatever. Because then you give the power over to everyone else to dictate how you feel about yourself.
The proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, my work speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. My, you know, I spend my time focusing on my work and like things that enrich my life, and focusing on other people does not enrich your life. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's like the social media, like effect. I have no idea. Or just the fact that, and I'm speaking in from my perspective in like this area, like we had the reality TV show down here. And I think that changed like the landscape of like ladies.
Yeah.
Like people got kind of crazy. And I don't think that that's worn off. I still see like little, like, I don't know. I feel like people always think like there's going to be another show and the cameras are going to come up again. And there's
I see what you mean. There's like an underlying unspoken kind of like competition or something.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I've noticed that. I'm just like, and I want to just tell everybody it's not that great.
Yeah.
Like it's not that great.
Yeah.
Like, get ready. But I don't think it'll ever happen again.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Well, I mean, what... getting into the reality TV thing, how did you even start to get into that? Because you said you were involved in that before you even went to law school. So how did that come about?
Like around 2009.
Okay.
2009 or 2010, the Super Bowl. And there was a lot of interest. Oh. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people down here at that time. And it was this like renaissance story for New Orleans. And I think there was a lot of intrigue with the city.
Yeah.
And I had met a producer. Her name was Wendy, and I cannot think of Wendy's last name now. But she put a group of women together, and we filmed a sizzle reel and flew out to Los Angeles. And I met with, like, every network under the sun, except for Bravo, because Bravo's offices were in New York.
Okay.
And at the time, they were not – Bravo, like, immediately turned down the show because Jennifer Flowers, if you probably don't have any clue who she is. I like her. I think she's great. Uh-huh. She was one of Bill Clinton's mistresses.
Oh, and she owns, I do know who you're talking about.
Like
a
singer's lounge or something in the French Quarter. And she's,
I didn't know that.
Like this buxom blonde like character. And she was one. I think they were trying to do like a Housewives kind of Ladies of London, which was always what the show would come back to. Ultimately, producers were like, we want a Ladies of London. They want, everybody's wanted to do this. Different production companies has wanted to like mimic that.
Okay.
You know, take that blueprint for New Orleans. So this was like supposed to be that. And Bravo was like, nope, we're not touching her with the 10-foot pole because of the Bill Clinton connection. And Hillary Clinton's going to run for president. And that was back then.
Yeah.
But we met with a bunch of networks, and that was like my first like kind of foray into reality. And it was the show didn't get picked up. Mm-hmm. It was such a cool experience because I was sitting down with producers storyboarding, you know, this show. And a lot of people don't know that a reality TV show is not reality.
Right.
And they storyboard it. Mm-hmm. And so they say, we're going to buy 8 episodes, you know, we might do 10, but we want the storyboard. And so the producers sit down and they put together the storyline, mm-hmm. which is great. And I think maybe this goes back to nature, nurture, like having a thick skin. Season 2, my storyboard was my divorce, and my producers would not let me disclose that I had left my first husband, Jeff. Mm. Did not want me to file. Basically, they said, you won't come back for season 2 if you file. We don't want the storyline getting leaked. And like everyone knew, including Jeff, that I was seeing Reese at the time. And then mm-hmm. we went back to film. They all lied about it. We'd never heard of him. We can't believe this. This just happened. And like that was the storyline. And everyone went along with it. Mm. And it took me like 2 weeks to get over it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, I can either give up and say, I'm not going to let you do this, or I can have fun with it. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, well, I guess that means I'm the center of attention on the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'll sell a shitload of jewelry then. And I was like, that's going to make me. And I did. I sold $1 million worth of jewelry that year.
Good for you.
And it was just like, if you want to make my divorce like the central storyline, mm-hmm. then I'll run with it. Yeah. I'll let you go. I'll, you know, let's make ride that train into the ground. Like, whatever. Yeah. Like, so it worked. And I think that that's something that, you know, with the TV element was just, I don't know, serendipitous that it all like kind of happened. And that was the crescendo. It was mm-hmm. like, it really was like the craziest time in my life. I was turning 30. I'd gotten married, my first marriage, when I was like 24 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Everybody was getting married.
Yeah.
All of the Saints, you know, couples mm-hmm. were getting married in like the same year. And so we got married, and we shouldn't have gotten married. It was like, we were so young and just kind of doing it. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, but I was turning 30 and I'm like, I want to, you know, start my next decade with, mm-hmm. you know, the right kind of life, you know, what I want. And so all of that culminated in season 2, which was the last season that we filmed. But we'd been through at that time years of sizzle reels, years of projects. Mm-hmm. And and I think it was just New Orleans being an interesting city. And we have really interesting people here.
Yeah.
And colorful people mm-hmm. and people that have, you know, diverse backgrounds and interests. And the city itself is like a character.
Yes.
And so it's only natural that like New Orleans was going to get mm-hmm. a show at some point.
Yeah.
And I just happened to be in the mix for like all of them.
Gosh.
So.
Well, I mean, I would say you did a great job with it and you got through it with flying colors. You're still here. You're thriving.
I survived.
Yeah, you survived.
I did. And I think making money and like selling jewelry and like every time I'd want to be like, meh, then I just get online and look at my sales and I'm like, okay,
I feel better.
I'm going to go to Croatia this weekend. They can all talk shit about it. And, you know, Brenda's online, like trolling me on Instagram or something. And I'm like, okay, Brenda, I'm going to go buy a new Chanel bag and party. See,
that's what I mean. You're so resilient. And that is a superpower.
Do you think that that's like a New Orleans thing though? Because everybody's like always, really?
Mm-mm. I definitely don't. I think
like a steel magnolia, like Southern.
It could be. But I think the caveat to that is that there are a lot of Southern women that the opposite.
Pretenders.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes. That are trying to toe the line with all the programming that goes on with
programming. That's such a powerful and like mm-hmm. correct way to describe it.
Yeah.
It is programming.
Yeah. And it's, how do you get out of those programs?
Sad.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. You know, there are things that can help with those programs, you know, like doing a session with me. No, but also like taking supplements or like really, it takes awareness. And I think that's the first step is being aware of your programs. And
makes me think of like fried green tomatoes, you know, and she's like, Wanda, when I was in the scene.
Yeah.
And I only say that because I like was clicking through and saw it, but it is that like, you know, women go through the motions mm-hmm. and they lose themselves.
Yeah, they do. And it's hard. So I have compassion for the women who are the bored ones and are trying to, you know, meddle navigate and be seen and be heard and all those things. And it just comes out in a different way, you know, but there's another group.
Here's something.
Yeah.
They can get a job. Get a yeah. job, bitch. You might find that you have something else to focus on. Like, you may not be so mad about everybody else in their lives if you were to go and like do something.
Yeah.
And not just because it gives you purpose.
Yeah.
But because it takes your mind off of everything. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't tell you how therapeutic it is to be busy.
Yeah.
Like, it's a beautiful thing to sit down and like, you don't have time to think about like, oh God, what did my ex-husband say? Or what did his mother say or whatever?
Yeah.
You're like, it doesn't matter. Like, I have a work to do today and the kids are there and you're like, I'm going to work harder so I can take them to Paris and Disney World and get them this crazy thing that they need. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like purpose is so important.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I need a soapbox.
I agree with you. The purpose is, I think, a big thing, but it's so nuanced because of that program, you know, there's so much from like their childhood or expectations or what people place on them. So because I get like an under the hood look at those things with some people, and it's actually so much more intricate and fascinating because it's not just black and white, but I love your black and white perspective of it because I'm like, yeah, it can be that simple. You know, it can be that simple.
Focus on something. Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't, you know, mean you have to go out and like kill yourself. Just something to put, volunteer.
Yeah.
Like if you don't need a job, then volunteer your time. Mm-hmm. But to focus all of your energy on other people is wild to me.
Yeah.
Like I cannot relate.
Yeah.
I cannot relate.
No. Which is probably the healthiest thing about you, to be honest.
I can. I mean, I'm just like,
yeah,
I don't get it. Like, wait, what? And so like, I mean, I know you and I have had personal conversations where we're just like, what?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like I, que pasa? Like, I don't understand. And so I don't know. I think that women are their own worst enemies.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Well, you know, one thing I do like about you is that you are very honest. And so when I asked you at dinner one night, I was like, what's your type? And you're like, fucked up. I was like, wow. Okay.
I kind of recall saying that.
I was like, well, that's refreshingly honest. At least you know that you're attracted to that.
Yeah.
So
if any of my ex-husbands are listening, it's true. You're fucked up. Sorry. Welcome to Reality Check with Amberlee. That is so funny. I remember saying that.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, it was so authentic and like just it blurted out of your mouth. And I was like, I like her.
That's so funny. Oh my God.
But with that, which is interesting because of the tarot reading that you had, that you're married to your job and your career and all that good stuff. I think there could be hope for you in changing that. So,
well, we'll see. Yeah. I don't know. I do love my job though. And I really like, I think this is something that, you know, being a professional, like, you know, and having all of these things going on, I'm like, oh, it's so great. You're so busy. But I don't know how I would fit that in because I sleep in bed every night with my kids. Mm-hmm. And when I finish work, like my routine is have a glass of wine and watch my kids play and do whatever it is that they want to do. And I make them dinner. And I'm like, how would I fit another person into this?
Okay, so let's do a little exercise real fast. What are three qualities in a guy that you're looking for? Like, what are three things that you're like, I want this?
I really think ambition is important to me right now. Mm-hmm. That is like at the top of my list.
Yeah.
Ambition, so like drive.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness, mm-hmm. I think is something. And then also, like, if they could look like Riley Green.
The country singer.
I told you. If it's not him, it's no one. Like I don't know.
A brawny masculine.
It's making me feel so old that I have, like, and that's another thing I've never gotten was, like, being obsessed with, like, a celebrity.
Uh-huh.
I see a picture of him, and I'm like, I'm ruined forever. Like, you're there done. Will be no man for me ever.
That is so funny.
I would just want to show the masses what he looks like. Google him on Instagram. It's just like abs and hair, and he's But if I saw somebody dress like that in real life, I'd be like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like if somebody showed up to a date in like tight Levi's and boots and like a tight shirt, I would be like, I have to go.
I think
I'm going to go now.
The masculine energy that he brings to the table, you know? And so I think, you know, we'll have to tag Riley Green in this and be like, win a date with Reagan Charleston. Oh my Let's God. Go. So, well, but, that those three qualities are great. The ambition,
it's really
the kindness,
important.
And the looks, the brawny looks.
Okay. If I'm not going to be like super shallow, kindness, ambition, and I don't know. I mean, it's hard to like,
I think you want a masculine man.
Yeah.
Like a true masculinity.
I think I'm done though. Like, I don't even know why. I mean, I like did that. Like, I loved my second husband so much. Mm-hmm. Like, he has been my person since I was like 19, and it's just so sad that it like didn't work. And so I don't know, maybe I'm just done. Like, maybe that really is what the tarot card reader today was like, no, you're married to your career. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe that is my like, you know, my next chapter is like my passion and partner should be like my work, but I don't know.
I think you can have both though. I think if you're looking at it in a way of, I think you want someone ambitious and kind and masculine or brawny. But I think you're showing up too much in that space on your own right now. So there, it needs to balance.
Kind of
creating more of that balance. Like, you can have,
I have
that
a lot
in
of
career,
masculine energy,
which is fine. You
I feel
can
like
have
I've
that
had to.
There. Well, there you go. There's the belief. There's the program, right? Yeah. So we just touched on that. So if that's the belief in the program, you can change that. And then someone can be someone can pull into your field.
That's
is a good
what
balance.
All the talk is about, having feminine energy and like being in your feminine energy. That's right. I am not. I mean, I get dressed up and like, I don't know. I still have like a lot of feminine energy.
But I think you're not compartmentalizing it. Like you show up so hard in your career and you bring that home with you. And I think you need to learn to turn it off at some point during your day, to come down and let yourself be soft and feminine and let a man show up in that way and take up that space for you, so that you don't always have to like be a stronghold in that way.
Well, it's like put it like, even just like, I'm, you know, I've got my two kids and it's just me, and a nanny, and I still, but I'm like the one to fix the, like if something breaks, I have to fix it, or I have to arrange getting it fixed. And like, I have a toolbox and I've done everything, kids, and I don't know how, like clog toilets with toys.
Oh yeah.
Like paper towels, you name it. I've had to learn my, like, I feel like a plumber at this point. And I'm like, these are things that I shouldn't have to do.
Right.
But then like, I will paint like my fence. I will fix something. I'll put something back together. Like, I do the yard work when I have to do it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe I do need like a good feminine
energy. Yeah, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Should, no.
So you need to attract a man who can take up that space for you, because you're taking up all, you're ticking all the boxes in your life. You're showing up everywhere. And some of that needs to be balanced.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't want to have to deal with it.
But, you know, there's what you said before, the belief, the program that came up. You're like, well, I've had to be. There's a safety mechanism there, that if you're not that, things are going to fall apart.
That's true.
And then that actually is more stress on you. That's real stress.
Well, I started waking up.
Because you can deal with pressure.
Yeah. And I think that it was coming out in like unanticipated moments. Mm-hmm. I started waking up like in fight or flight at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, just, and I would be totally fine during the day. Like, not a worry in the world. And then at 4 a.m. it was like, and I mean, my heart was racing and I'm like, oh my God, what is this? But it was, you know, in the middle of the night, I guess, like when I was, I don't know, like it would come up at the weirdest moments. And I'm like, okay, I'm stressed. That has not happened in a while.
But well, if you look at like traditional Chinese medicine, 2 to 4 a.m. is usually like the liver goes through like a detox process, and the liver harbors a lot of anger.
Really?
And it can be tied to fear and rage, because you get into like the gallbladder and kidneys for that, detox organs. But yeah, so if it is around the same time at night.
Yeah, it was it like could the same time every night.
Yeah. So there could be a level of anger there in your life in relation to like your relationships, because like, yeah, you can also like be angry, because you've had to show up too much and you've shown up too much and they haven't shown up enough.
That's what today in my card reading, she was like, you know, you've had so much going on and, you know, you've had all of these things come at you and mm-hmm. the next chapter is just like ease. And I'm like, oh my God, that's like one of my words, like on my mirror. Ease.
Really?
Yes. Like I just want to feel like at ease.
Yeah.
And I have, I mean, I have to say like mm-hmm. for the past at least year, I've felt like, okay, this is it. And I think it, you know, with my job and I work for this fantastic firm and we're really doing meaningful, powerful work. Mm-hmm. And I'm working with passionate people. And there's a level of security there that it's, I don't know, I can't explain like just that stability and, you know, your job and doing what you like to do mm-hmm. and working with people that love what they do. Like it changed my like outlook on everything. So that I think for the past year I've been better, but I still like will have those nights. And I'm wondering, maybe it's just me tapping in. Because it's easy to compartmentalize.
Well, yeah. I think if I'm going to be intuitive about it, I think within a few years, someone's going to come into your life that you're not expecting, almost like friendly. Like it could be someone you meet.
She did say this today, though,
really?
Too. Yeah, she actually did. She That's said so it would be a friend like yeah. later, like in mm-hmm. the future.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah. But I think you have to learn how to balance first, you know, and I think getting into that ease, practicing more of that feminine energy to create more of that balance, that is going to bring in more ease. And when you're finally in that space, yeah. I think that right person's going to come along.
We'll see. But I have two little kids
yeah.
and like, they're so little. So maybe when they're like older, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's so yeah. hard. It's like, I don't know. That's the part in my life where I'm like, I cannot deal with this like train wreck.
But. Well, I think the type of man that you're attracted to right now is because energy always has to balance. It's a formula for every single person. So if A is, you know, really strong and B is really weak, then the C is going to be that imbalance there, yeah. like A plus B equals C. So if you pull back down on the A and lift up the B, the C is more balanced. So the formula for you is learning how to get to that space.
Yeah.
And so I think you're going to move into that direction, but it's not overthinking. It's not going after the same type of energy you're always attracted to, which could be like something a little bit, I'm hearing like, it's like a wild hair. It's like a wild hair. In
like the kind of guy, yeah, like a little bit wild, like
yeah,
a little.
There's almost like fucked up. Yeah. It is almost like a little off where there's like you're excited.
My ex Reese is going to be like, why? Why do you do this to me every time? Oh my God. No.
So funny.
I mean, I'm sorry. Do, you know, what is it? Do the crime?
Yeah.
Pay the time? No. What is it? I should know this.
Pay the fine.
Set, maybe.
Or do the time.
Do the time. Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. So sorry. No. Yeah. He's wild.
Yeah.
And it was entertaining
mm-hmm.
until I was like trying mm-hmm. to be a serious person. And I'm like, right. this is not fun
right.
for me anymore.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just, you know, Mr. Maybe he'll grow up and we'll mm-hmm. like work it out down the road. But it's been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
What a roller coaster. Yeah, I think the whole like career, that's a safer option just yeah. to like focus just on that, like all of this. But now that I start to think about it, I'm like, nah, I think I'm just going to stick it out and just be yeah. like, you know, in my office.
Well, you have more control over that right now. And I think that is
super
a safe
control.
Space for you. Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it. I yeah. love working.
Well, that's good. You know, at least I think, yeah, like the tarot card reader said, dive into that for a little bit and then you'll start changing and morphing and be like, okay, what do I actually need? How do I feel right now? I think right now you're probably so exhausted from everything that you're just like, I want ease.
Also, dating is weird. Like I've tried to date and I just find myself completely icked out over everything. Like everything. Like, have you seen the running ick list where it's like 1400 yes. things and it's like, he wears flip flops. Ick. Yeah. Like he ate ice cream. Yeah. Ick. And I'm like, that's me. Like the nicest guys, like I mm-hmm. nice and like check every box mm-hmm. and I don't make it past like a date
yeah.
or two dates where I'm like, oh my God, I know I'm never going to talk to you again.
Yeah.
I cannot do this. Mm-hmm. Like, and I run for the hills. Dating in this day and age is horrible.
Yeah.
And then it's like the app thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you like to date in the wild.
I like to date in the wild.
But I don't go out. So I don't know. I mm-hmm. like work and that's it. Or I'll go to like a function or a fundraiser or I put something on and like, that's not like, you're not going to like
yeah.
meet somebody like that. And so Kristen Cavallari was like, go to the gym, go mm-hmm. out, you know, with your friends, like, you know, go do things instead yeah. of being, you know, right. like we do everything from either home or our phones now.
Yeah.
So it's just such a weird time.
I know. It is really odd. And I think it's also prevented men from having to approach you, you know, they're not, you know, equipped to do that right now because yeah. they can just like stalk you on social media and send you a DM instead of like approach you and risk getting
rejected. You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
there's something so refreshing about someone who approaches you risking that. And it is very masculine and very attractive, you know, even if they're not someone that you want to be with, it is always nice if someone approaches you, but that's such a like lost art. I feel like
it is. Yeah. But I can't think of like the last time a girlfriend told me you've met some nice people.
Yeah.
I can't think of many stories where friends of mine are meeting people out. Mm-hmm. It's like all on an app.
Yeah.
Which is so uncomfortable for me.
Yeah. And it's hard to really get a read on a person's energy unless you're really with them physically.
And it's like, yeah.
And then after that, you're just getting the ick.
The ick is real. Okay, oh, so my God.
For you, the ick factor, like you said, it's nice guys. I think you need someone who's actually not nice.
I think that's my problem is I like assholes.
But
I think I like people that aren't very nice.
You're big on safety. So
yes.
The safety, it's a biological program that a woman should have, honestly, is looking at a man who is willing to be mean, willing to like kill for you, willing to protect and provide, willing to go far and be mean to someone if he has to be to protect you and the kids.
You like clocked me. Yeah. I love yeah. safety. I yeah. am like such a safety freak, like about yeah. everything. Like,
right.
I
nice yeah. isn't safe.
No,
it's not. Because
No. You're so right.
Being polite. I think Seth Rogen said this on Howard Stern. He's like, being polite gets people killed. Like,
oh my God, yeah. it's so right. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I like my mom would tell me and my dad too when I was, you know, like, I don't know, maybe high school when I was doing things where I'd be away from them was that if somebody makes you uncomfortable, like yeah. ask them, what are you looking at? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What yeah. are you, why are you following me? Like immediately,
right.
because that is not the norm. People mm-hmm. are afraid to look rude or, exactly. you know, intimidate or, you know, whatever.
Right.
But you're less likely to get stuffed into the trunk yeah. of a car if you're like, what are you doing? What do you want? And you're loud and like abrasive yeah. or like, get away from me.
Right.
And being nice gets people killed. This is yeah. went off on a wild tangent. Yeah. But yeah. female right. safety, like yeah. be a bitch.
Yeah.
Like that's something that I've taught my daughters. Like if somebody's making you uncomfortable, tell them.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me uncomfortable. I don't like the way you're looking at me. You're standing too close to me.
Yeah.
You need to back off. And like, I love my sister. Like somebody was like staring at her mm-hmm. and she was like, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? And the guy was just like, oh my God, I've been outed, you
yeah.
know, but he was like lurking and like yeah. being a super creep, but they like want to run for the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like game meet game. Yeah. Like, what did you think was going to happen? But it's because people are afraid to yeah. be loud and aggressive and abrasive.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Women need a master class at
standing up for yeah
it's true.
It is true, but I think the men, you want a kind man, like you said, not a nice one, not a pushover who's just not gonna have boundaries or do it, because that biologically speaking is not gonna be, you're always gonna have to be in your masculine energy if that's the case. You're always gonna have to show up in that way.
Maybe I don't hate it. I don't know, I need to go to therapy.
It's hilarious. Look, it's knowing what you are and then understanding the rules of the game at that point. Because yeah. if you're blind to like, oh, I really do like safety. I really do like control. I really do like being in my masculine. So maybe I do want just a nice guy just to have along for the mm-hmm. ride. But no, you don't. You want to be conquered.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound so bad, actually, now that you put it that way.
Right. Put that on your mirror, your manifesto mirror.
Oh, my God.
I want to be conquered.
That would be terrible for the school moms to walk in and be like, this woman's a freak. Right now, it's just like career, money, like all of the things. And
well,
I was like
checking
them off. But I'm like, hey, at least they saw I was like making my way down.
That's true.
Still so embarrassing. Oh, my God. I wanted to die. I walked into the bathroom and I was like, no. Oh, my God.
Like, I love that.
Time stopped. I was like, they all saw this.
Oh, my God.
They've all seen it.
Do you want to share anything on your manifesto?
Well, I did. It's mostly like career and
mostly
money.
Career.
And like I was appointed to a steering committee. That's been on my I am on the plaintiff steering committee in the JCCP in California for the social media addiction litigation.
Good for you.
Yes. We represent plaintiffs and children from all over the country that have been harmed by social media products. And I am on the steering committee. And that was one of the things that I really wanted. I put steering committee on my mirror and it had been there for like, I don't know, a year. And lo and behold, it was like last November I was appointed.
Wow.
And yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Good.
So that was one. And then I wanted a particular board position and I was appointed to the board. Things like that. And then at the very top, it's like White House. Because why not?
Why not?
So, I just want to be president one day, which I probably will never run for office. But I'm like,
that's amazing.
If I'm just going to put like the craziest thing. And I feel like just looking at it, because even if you get close.
It puts you in the mindset. Yeah.
Why not? Like, why not? Like,
well,
say I'm just going to like achieve like crazy shit because
you want to and you can.
You can. And I think that's something that I've been reading so much about is like, it's about energy and it's about what you focus on. And I told, where was I? Oh my God. This poor kid probably thinks I'm like nuts, but I like looked into his soul and I was like, if you want to do this, you can. You just have to say it out loud. I picked up my daughter's birthday cakes and I am on the mission to find reasonable birthday cakes because I am sick of spending $600 on a kid's birthday cake.
Oh my God.
So I went to Rouse's.
Yeah.
And I went to Rouse's and I described these two cakes and I wanted mermaid cakes. And then I get my sister-in-law's sister-in-law, Madison, and they have Mimi. So they have Mimi and the Bee, Abby, and we need to post about their cookies. I get her to do the cookies and I put them on a cake. And it's like the most beautiful cake ever. But I went to Rouse's and it really was the two most magnificent cakes. And they were perfect. And they were perfect for a mermaid party. And his, you know, the other was a young man that did them in front of me. And his coworker came out and she was raving about how talented he is and how he needs to open a bakery. And he was like, I could never, I'll never have enough money. It's not the right time. And I was like, in that moment, I was like, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can absolutely just do it. Say you're going to do it and say it every day until you do it. And why not just do it tomorrow? Start baking cakes out of your house and like, just make it happen because just starting is so crucial because so many people get crippled and paralyzed by what if I fail?
Analysis paralysis.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, just do it. And that's something that over the years I've been asked over and over and over again. If you have advice for someone looking to start a business, what is it?
Start.
To like do it, like take the first step, like form an LLC, come up with a logo, tell your family and friends. Like whatever it takes, like put it online. We're in the day and age of like online business. You don't need a brick and mortar.
Right.
You can drop ship from your kitchen. There is literally no reason for people not to be able to go out and achieve what they want to do, especially with the tools that we have available to us.
Right.
AI, come on. I started a business without AI. Like I learned how to use Photoshop. I learned how to do product photography and remove the background from my jewelry shop. I did all of my product photography until I was like making a ton of money and felt like I should pay somebody.
Right.
And you know, now you don't even have to do that. I was so shocked that there's an app that you upload the picture and you tap it and the background's gone. You can do it on Canva now.
Right.
Like I would sit and like painstakingly remove the background from an image that I took in a white box and like, you don't even have to do that. And just starting and getting over that, like that intimidation factor is so important. Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
And while I'm on my soapbox,
go
back to school.
Like
that's something because I, a lot of women message me and they're, you know, what do we, I need to get a divorce, or I'm scared I might get a divorce. What do I do? And I'm like, go back to school.
Yeah.
Go get a degree, like another degree, go find something like to have a safety net for yourself. And starting a business is also like, start a business or go back to school. Like those two things are incredible because it can give you a new lease on life.
Right. Yeah. No, it is so true. I think the way your brain operates is so geared towards safety, and you're so clear on it for how to get, especially for women, to get up and get moving.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that. A safety net. Mm-hmm. Like, you need a safety net. I don't feel like anyone else should ever be like in control of your destiny.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that a lot of women find themselves in situations where they're like, oh no, what have I done? Exactly. I am totally not in control of my own life right now.
Yeah.
And start a business, go back to school, all of these things. But yeah, it's like the safety factor. Yeah. I guess if I had a bumper sticker, it would be like, are you safe? Question mark.
Are you safe? I was going to say safety first, but yours is so much better. Are you safe? I would be like, hell, am I?
I don't know. I think so. But yeah, I don't know. It's the thing though. Security, stability, like really traditional values, I think, in an untraditional, non-traditional world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's really good advice, because entrepreneurship, and if you interview the most successful business people, men and women, they always say like, be the fastest one in the room. Be that you don't have to be the smartest. You have to be the fastest, meaning start.
Yeah.
Like just get started, take a step in any direction. It doesn't matter if it's ugly or messy. If you are trying to be a perfectionist and come off a certain way, or, you know, touch this, do that, whatever, it's going to be painstaking, because other people who aren't as talented, aren't as smart, aren't as great, don't care. They don't have options. So they're just going to push right past you and they're going to get the success.
When you're in that mindset that yes, it has to be perfect, or everything has to be in the right place.
Right.
How are you going to get anything done? Like, I feel like just getting it out there, like whatever it is, just to have a starting point.
Right.
And like, you really do learn through failure.
Yeah.
And to not, so one of the qualities that I think is the most important in any area in life is grit. Mm-hmm. And it's like having the determination to, like, you know, just brush your shoulders off.
Yeah.
And be like, well, that didn't work out. On to the next, or whatever it may be. Because it's, and that goes back to like not caring what people think.
It does.
Because how can you get anything done if you care about what people think about you? And it's just, it's so rewarding to be like, I don't care.
Well, it's, if you care about what other people think, it sets you up to listen to your own inner critic as well.
Yeah. It gives it a voice and a platform rent free in your brain. And it's like, why would you do that to yourself? I don't know. I really do think maybe it was like reality TV that like really, you know, that
made
was,
you.
Yeah. Galvanized that quality of mine.
Yeah.
Because you can't, it slows you down.
Yeah.
You know,
it's sink or swim.
Yeah.
You
spend time worried about what people think. Mm-hmm. But the second thing is, I'm not saying go around and do all kinds of horrible things and don't care.
Yeah. Right.
Be a good person.
Yeah.
Being a good person is so important to me. Mm-hmm. And like growing up, my mom, like we couldn't litter. Like my mom would be like, God saw you.
Yeah.
You know, like
God saw you.
And I feel like literally like everything is karmic. Like, and you know, that's bad karma. It's another thing my mom always says. That's such bad karma. Don't even say that. That's bad karma.
Well, now we know where the safety thing comes from.
My mom, my poor mom. It was like, you know, that was something that was so important, was do the right thing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, what you do when no one's looking. And that makes it easier to not care too, because there's another saying, which it's like, I worked all day and have been all over the place and got my tarot read, and my brain is just like I cleared. I love
all the sayings. We have no idea what any of the sayings are.
It's like something, it's like a doing the right thing is the soft pillow you rest your head on at night or something. It's some saying and it's like, if you do the right thing, you can sleep well. Like you're going to rest easy and not have any regrets. Like if you know that you went in and you were trying to do the right thing, whether it was through honesty or authenticity mm-hmm. or hard work,
right,
then how can you regret that? And I think that right. that's, yeah, well, I do regret being honest. So honest sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, did I need to be that honest? But I can't stand it. I can't stand to sit and have a fake conversation.
You are very authentic. I will give you that. Which is great. That maybe authenticity makes you healthy, though.
It does. Mm-hmm. Because my sister is like, why would you say that? I'm like, because I could not sit there and pretend.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and she's like, but it doesn't matter. And I'm like, but it did. Mm-hmm. I don't understand like the lying thing.
Yeah.
That gnaws at me. But it's all of the, you do the right thing. And then it's like, well, if it didn't work or these people still don't like me or whatever, for whatever reasons went sideways, I was true to myself in that moment.
Right.
And I think that that's something that can be applied anywhere, whether it's like business or your personal life. Like if you lead with good intentions, mm-hmm. and for me, good intentions is focusing on myself and my kids mm-hmm. and my family. Like that, you've got your yeah. core unit, and like not giving any energy to like any negativity.
Yeah. Well, it's not what you do as much as the energy you're bringing into whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah.
So that intention, like you're saying, it's getting your energy clear. Yeah. You can rest your head at night. If you feel clear that you were authentic in that moment and spoke from your heart and led with your heart, then you can sleep at night. You know,
yeah.
It's just, but I think so often a lot of people get caught up in the perception of things or the expectation.
Yeah.
And how do people want me to perform in this way? Or what do they want to see from me? You get so lost. And that's one of the most like unhealthy things that you can do, is not be authentic for how you feel, like being willing to be unliked or mean or bitchy or go against the program. You know, I think there's a lot of fear out there to be yeah. able to do that. And I think it's so great that you can do that. That really is a gift and a superpower that you have.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really mean that. I think it is so great that you can stand up for yourself and you have that power, and you're giving that over to your clients as well, being an advocate.
I like to stand up for other people mm-hmm. and, you know, we're expanding my law legal practice in Louisiana.
Okay.
And so I'm going to be taking, you know, all different kinds of cases. And
that's exciting.
I'm going to have a presence here in the state. Mm-hmm. And that's been something that some of my clients are in Louisiana. And, okay. But I really was lamenting the fact that I'm working hard for so many people outside of, and like I said earlier, mm-hmm. I'm a Louisiana girl.
Right.
Like Louisiana is my home. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I should be using my network and mm-hmm. my assets and my, you know, ambition and my skill here in my state
yeah.
to help people that are here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, I don't know if you feel this way, but like Louisiana is, it's like, it lives in you.
Yes, it does. For
like,
sure.
I have like mm-hmm. a particular loyalty to my home state and mm-hmm. the people that live here. And I think that, I don't know if that's because we've all been through so many horrible things.
We're all trauma bonded.
We're trauma bonded. I think yeah. so. I mean, think about what we go through on a regular basis.
Yeah.
There's, you know, we go through cataclysmic mm-hmm. trauma.
Yeah.
Like every couple of years
mm-hmm.
and rebuilding. And I think that we're all like forged, you know.
And we throw the biggest parties too.
Throw the best parties. Yeah. And it's just a way of life. And I just feel like so passionate about the folks here in Louisiana. And so mm-hmm. I'm, you know, going into this new endeavor here in the state. And it's so rewarding to know that I will be able to stand up for the people here in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, the bravery aspect and advocating, it's like, you can never get that wrong. Like
yeah.
earlier I was saying, like, I'm scared of getting it wrong. But if you're really passionate about protecting someone and making right. things right,
mm-hmm.
You are just that much further ahead, and there's no fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, I'm right. And that goes back yeah. to like, if you've done the right thing,
yeah.
no regrets,
yep.
no regrets. And if you really feel passionate about the person you're representing and advocating for,
right?
Like, you can't lose, you mm-hmm. know? I mean,
yeah,
things
exactly.
happen, but it's,
yeah.
you just, that bravery, grit, determination, mm-hmm. looking after other people, safety.
Yeah.
I know. I always, I'm like, people will talk about things and I'm like, I'm a lawyer. And I think that's a pretty bad idea. Like from a like all different standards, like that's not safe.
Yeah. Right.
It's a liability.
That's not safe.
You're going to get sued.
You're going to have to come out with a t-shirt line now that just says like, are you safe?
Are you safe? Are you safe?
And then like call Reagan Charleston for all
so many
stuff.
Lessons. Yeah. Ladies only take a black car at night. That's a rule.
Yeah. Like for Uber.
It depends on the state. But like in Louisiana, if they're the driver is in a black car, then they have the commercial license.
Oh,
yes.
See, we don't
know
this. So
it's worth the extra $20 or $30 to get in a black car at night. And you're not just getting into the car with a stranger that could drive you.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Somewhere crazy. And
look at you with all these tips.
Assault you.
Well, yeah.
But if you have been assaulted in an Uber, you can call me because we represent victims of assault, whether it's the driver or the passenger. But yeah, take a black car. Are you safe? Yeah, no, I really live and die by this. I got it. Like so many things that we should be aware of and conscientious of. It's hard to be a woman.
Oh my gosh. You're preaching to the choir.
I mean, and I'm not saying that bad things don't happen to men because they certainly do.
Right.
But by and large, you know, well, I would say, I think young boys are, there's no discrimination against the abuse
children,
of children.
Yeah, it's across the board.
The abuse of children. You have to pay attention to your kids and who they're with. Talk to them early. Oh my God, as a sex abuse attorney, talk to your children about what is right and what's wrong and that no one should be asking them to keep secrets. They should be comfortable with talking about their genitalia by the appropriate name.
Yeah.
Like, let's not call them flowers and cookies so people don't know what the teachers don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Right.
Like, you know, and if you're not comfortable saying, you know, that, then butt and front butt. Like,
oh, well, there you go.
Those are easy ones that may not make everybody uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's so important. Talk to your kids. Oh, my God. If I have to impart like things representing children that have been, well, they're my clients. I have some children that are still children that are my clients. That have been sexually abused, but most of my clients are adults. And scientifically, it takes that long, especially for men, to process what's happened.
Wow.
Sometimes they don't recall for decades. And then the memories start creeping in.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, hearing the stories and things happen because parents trust other people.
Right.
And it's, you know, talking to your kids because, and I had heard a dad was telling a story about something that had happened with two children. And he had always told his daughter, like, they had a safe word. Like, if you're ever uncomfortable at somebody's house, and these kids were like 11 and 12, like, you can call me and ask. It was something like, you know, did I leave something in the dryer? It was like a really like benign thing. And he said he got the call and he was oh my God, it's go time. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
And so he panicked and he's like on the other end and he's like, are you uncomfortable? Yes. Okay. Do you need me to come and get you? Yes. So he goes over there and the other child had asked to play doctor and wanted to pretend that this girl child was having a baby and asked her to take her pants off.
Oh God.
And she was like, absolutely not. And he said, I'd had conversations from the time she was little. If anybody asked you to take your pants off, that's not a doctor that you're with for that specific reason that your mom and dad know about, it's wrong.
Right.
And if anybody tries to touch you, it's wrong. And you have to tell me immediately and I'm never going to be mad at you. And it's these conversations. So he goes and picks up the kid and she tells him what's happened. And he said his first concern was the other child.
Right.
Why is this happening? And so
did they learn that from someone
else
doing that
and
to
so
them?
Yeah. He waited until he got home and he called the mother and he said, I want you to know this happened earlier and that's why I came abruptly to collect whatever the child's name was. But you need to talk to your child and ask some questions. And he said she was like horrified. My kid would never, you know, but it's like, that's a mistake.
Right.
Make sure your kids are comfortable talking to you about everything and anything because bad people are out there and they take advantage of vulnerable children.
Yeah.
And it's prolific.
Yes.
In churches, in schools, and I just said doctors, but even in hospitals. I mean, bad things happen to children. And then who's the more vulnerable sex as an adult?
Right.
Women. You can tackle us, take us down, stuff us in you know, back of a car. I mean, it's just the reality. So you have to be so careful. And things go wrong and bad people are out there.
Yeah.
And in my line of work, I'm reading the gruesome details of it.
Yeah.
And not just reading it. I'm talking about it with the people that it happens
exactly,
to.
Right.
All day, every day. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's also informed how I live. And mm-hmm. like, yes, I might be a little bit of a safety freak, but I'm literally day in and day out talking to people who exactly. have had horrible things happen mm-hmm. to them. And then even on the flip side, and you'll relate to this aspect, like mm-hmm. the products liability side, mm-hmm. the things you put in your body.
Yeah.
Like you have to be so, you know, aware and advocate for yourself mm-hmm. and whether it's a medical device or a pharmaceutical, like things, bad things happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see that. And I think yeah. I have trust issues.
Well, you know, and rightfully so, you know, because you do, you're exposed to all
trust
of that.
Yeah. No one, trust no one. Nothing.
Are you safe? Probably
Are
not.
Are you safe?
Call me.
Like yeah. we need these, yeah. but hey, like.
I know. Look, better to err on the side of
caution,
safety, protection, all of that. So.
And I know that in your work, you are focused on holistic treatments and therapies.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, and a lot of Eastern medicine. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all less likely to get cancer and have horrible injuries if we just go with the Eastern medicine.
Yeah. Well, you know, it always is rooted in your belief system. Mm-hmm. So honestly, there are some Western medicines and medications that work beautifully for people. It really depends on the person. And yeah. I think that's why it gets so confusing for
that
everyone.
It's confusing.
It's very confusing because you feel like you have to pick a side. And like if I get a sinus infection, I'm probably going to get antibiotics. You know, I also might not. It depends on what the infection is. If I have a throat infection that's more viral, like obviously I'm going to take more of the Eastern stuff that like herbs and things like that.
I don't take anything ever.
Well,
ever. I mean, I'm like,
it's because you don't,
I don't
give
even
a damn.
Like taking, yeah, that's true. But I don't even like taking ibuprofen. It. Like, I'm like, this is, I don't know how I feel yeah. about this. I don't really need this. Do I?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know, but I'm also, I trust nothing.
Well, yeah, there you go. So, but you are also very resilient. And that, my point in the whole podcast about you in particular as Reagan Charleston, you, what makes you healthy is your resilience and your willingness to have a boundary and speak up and really be willing
to. I love boundaries.
To, yeah. I
boundaries
think you're great
are the most
at it.
Beautiful thing to
and
have.
It's so healthy, you know, and I think people don't see the need for it, but it's so needed right now with the health that's happening. It's getting mimicked through people's belief systems. If they don't have energetic boundaries, they're not going to have boundaries in their cells and in their gut. They're going to have
really?
Leaky gut.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That's fascinating.
Yeah. It all mirrors. So you can have leaky gut syndrome and all kinds of like toxins and things like that. If you don't have good boundaries with other people.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. I'm never going to
You're
get
never
leaky
gonna
gut.
Have that. Yeah.
I want to go have all my labs done and yeah. like just compare and see.
Your blood work's probably pristine.
I love a boundary. Like, oh yeah. my God. I'm like, no, absolutely yeah. not.
I think your t-shirt should just say like, fuck off.
Fuck off. Absolutely not is my favorite thing to say.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
That is
and
so
are you
new.
Crazy? Like, are you insane? Like, no.
Yeah.
You know, like,
oh
what?
That's so
like,
funny.
People are so wild. But yeah, boundaries are beautiful, baby. I think they're wonderful.
Well, I think that is one of the healthiest things about you. So my last question for you is, have you had anyone in your family live to be 100 years old or around there or an old ripe age? And yeah. if so, what do you think their secret was?
Oh, wow. My grandfather passed away at 96.
Oh, wow. That's old. Yeah.
And I would definitely say not giving an F-U-C-K.
There you go, everyone.
I've said yeah. the F word too many times in this podcast.
Okay, we'll bleep
My that. Mom's going to be so mad at me. She's like, if you could do one thing for me,
yeah.
stop swearing. And I'm like, but I love the F word. I love it.
Sometimes it's needed.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's my favorite word.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did not care about anything
All
or
right.
anybody. He marched to the beat of his own drum mm-hmm. and was a bit of a jerk.
We'll see.
But he lived for 96 years.
It's so fascinating. That's what I've learned more and more and more. Having now over 1,000 clients over the 10 years that I've had my practice open.
That's impressive.
Thank you. It's what I have found, because I'm also, my background is research, mm-hmm. scientific research. So that's where I came from. So now in my practice, I apply it and I've noticed a trend. It's never the biohacking or the green juices or like doing the sauna every day. All those things are tools and they're all helpful for everything.
He drank whiskey every day. Tons of it.
Every centenarian.
He'd start at like 3 o'clock and he'd have his little glass of whiskey and I'd go over there and he'd be like, I'm just drinking my medicine.
He's doing him.
Yeah. I'm like,
he's doing okay. It really
96
is.
96 years.
When you're connected to yourself, you know who you are, you're authentic, and you don't give a care, really.
Yeah.
It really buoys your health so much. And I think that's such a great message for people that we're missing the boat. We're always thinking it's our diet. It's, you know, our exercise. It's this, it's that. All of those things are contributors and tools, and they're actually a mirror and a reflection of how you use energy. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's powerful.
Yeah. So that's why it more so has to do with your programming, your mental beliefs, the things you can't see, taste, touch, hear, smell. It's those things that are beyond the five main senses of perception that are running the entire show. This whole time we're looking at a movie screen, throwing tomatoes at the screen, and we're not looking up at the projector room.
Yeah.
So who is running the show? What's running the show? And that's what I work with. So getting that messaging out there for teaching people. That's why I always want to ask that question at all of my guests. If you know anyone who lived to a ripe old age, what is it? And every time someone says the most unhealthy thing, whiskey, hot dogs, cigarettes, whatever it is, but they're like, you know what? I think they just like didn't care, or they let things go or whatever. It's the mental state.
Mm-hmm. He did whatever he wanted to do every day of his life.
Yeah. I love that.
Just, he was just his own person. 96 years of Reginald. Yeah. He did whatever he wanted.
Well,
I can't wait to go home and talk to my mom about this.
Oh, okay.
Because
good.
That really, yeah, that's really important. And I think that you're onto something.
Thank you.
Well, okay. So I want to talk about energy for a second.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I love the studies where it's like talking to the water.
Yeah.
And like people will come in and like tell one water it's great and they love it. And the other water they like are mean to.
Yeah.
And like one grows like funk and like algae mold, and the other glass that they've been nice to is like pristine.
Yes.
And the same with like plants. Like you could have two plants in totally the same environment, sunlight, water, same plant. And like one, they're like, you're a great plant. We love you, plant. And the other one, they're like, you're terrible. You're ugly. You suck. Like we hate you. And then that plant dies.
I know.
Like,
isn't that crazy?
That's like real.
Another study showed that plants, they actually put some material on a plant to measure the energetic state. And it knew when its owner, the person who owned the office space, when the owner started coming to the office, the plant would react. Isn't that crazy?
Okay, so what do you think about the videos with the tree branches that it's like, touch me tree, and then the tree like touches? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen it.
I've laughed at it so hard. She's like, I'm not kidding, it's touching me. The tree branch like comes down and like touches.
Look,
she's like, hello, Mr. Tree, touch me. And it like, it was like not windy.
Yeah,
I think plants. Oh, no.
I know.
Now when I'm eating my salad later, I'm going to be like, I'm sorry.
I know. Well, that's why. I mean, and there's a spectrum of this, but people are like, oh, you know, don't eat animals, only eat, you know, fruits and vegetables. I'm like, technically, I hate to be the
bearer
of bad news.
They might be sentient, too.
They are. And so everything is energy. Every single thing. The chairs we're sitting on is energy. We're all made of vibration, sound waves. So, like, we're not actually physical. The world you see around you is all frequency. It's all reflections of light and information. I know. Yeah.
I'm going to be driving home. Like,
you're going to be like
having these thoughts.
This isn't real.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. No, it's true.
Yeah. It's all reflection. Like even color, that's a frequency. Like you can't grab green, you know, it's reflections of information, and it gives you like green, you know, is probably connected to heart health or health in general, like vitality, oxygen, all of that stuff. So then red is a warning, you know, or something that's bold and fiery or like primal.
You knew our old producer.
Yes.
And she would always talk about the time space continuum and she would call and she'd be like, oh, it doesn't matter that it's already happened in the time space continuum. And I'm like, how much tequila have you had? Like, okay. But she would talk about it all the time. She was crazy. So she's funny. The one that told me I couldn't get a divorce because she was going to fire me. She was on to something with the time space continuum. Uh-huh. It's already happened.
Yeah.
I heard that all. Well, it's already happened, you know? And I'm like, okay. Oh, and so, but it really is like operating in that, like, well, it's already happened. Mm-hmm. It's sure. Like, okay, it has. And I think that's energy. Mm-hmm. That's the energy that you approach the world with. And it's like, why would you worry about something? Another thing that if we're going to talk about Reagan's life lessons, like it always is okay. Mm-hmm. And like, I find if I spin out over something and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so worried. It never matters. Mm-hmm. Like ultimately everything works out. And oh, no, I want to knock on like wood now, but which I just saw the knock on wood thing was because of the energy in the wood that people used to believe that there were like spirits in the wood. Uh-huh. I just learned this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like this week.
Okay.
Which is fascinating. It like goes back to like some like pagan belief that there was like a person, you know, that spirit in the wood. And so they would say knock on it to summon them to protect you. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Which is kind of in line with our sentient plant talk.
Yep, exactly.
Knock on wood. But, you know, it's what you're putting out there and how you're approaching life. And so now I've like got this, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be fine. It doesn't matter. But which is also like, if you're doing the right thing, it really doesn't. Like nothing matters if you're just doing the right thing.
And that is going to help you practice more trust. Because if you're having faith that things are working out and you are leading with your heart, that does foster more trust, and that unequivocal trust that you have brings things into fruition. It helps actually manifest physical things in your life.
I love manifestation.
Yeah.
I haven't been as good about it lately. I mean, it's all in my mirror, but I used to like spend time every day. Like, and I would write and I'd have acronyms for the things I wanted.
Really?
And everything worked out.
Yeah.
Like everything that I said was going to happen. I was just telling my partners this. Mm-hmm. Whenever I go into like oral argument at the very top of my notes, I'd write, I am a bad bitch.
So, I love that. That's
I know.
Cute.
I told one of my partners that and he was like, I'm a bad bitch.
That
I was like, I don't know
slogan.
If it works for you, but like,
I
don't know, maybe so. Like, we're all a bad bitch, but it's like you tell yourself like in some way and remind yourself, and writing it down is another thing. Cause it's in it's in motion.
Yeah.
It's not just a thought. You're like putting it on paper. It's an in motion thing that the energy that you're putting out.
Yeah. Physicalizing it on paper, getting it out of your brain and onto paper, and you seeing it, that reflection, just like everything you create in the world, you see a reflection in somebody else or something that gives you more information about what's going on inside of you.
Yeah.
So if you want things to change in your physical reality, you have to change the energetic blueprint inside of you. So that what gets reflected.
Energetic blueprint.
Yes.
I love that.
So everything in your physical reality is a reflection of your energetic blueprint, yours. So which is fascinating because if you want someone to change the way that they're entering into a dynamic with you, you change that frequency in you and they are physically different. They'll act differently around you.
That's I want to go read about this.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have been useful. Well, I like rabbit holes too. I love a good rabbit hole. But now I'm like, I wish I would have known that when I was married the second time.
It is very useful.
A lot of coulda, woulda, shouldas, but you know, I think that being aware of all of this and like, send me all the links. Like that's fascinating. Yeah. Energetic blueprint, how you approach someone changes how they react and to you and your energy.
Yes. So if you're changing that energy inside of you, they react differently. So what's going to happen is they either are a better match for you or they'll fall away. But either way, you're gonna get more, you're getting out of that gridlock.
Yeah.
That you keep repeating the pattern over and over and over. So even if you get out of that.
Everything's a pattern. We are a pattern. We're walking, talking patterns.
Exactly. And the more something repeats, the stronger the belief is in you. So if it's, and the louder it is, the more you have to pay attention to it and have to change it. So if you get another divorce and you're like, okay, I want to go date someone else, you're going to repeat the same pattern, even if it looks different with a new person. So you look at, okay, what was my belief? Like, was I showing up too much? Was I not safe in this relationship? What, you know, and working on that safety frequency, you can bring in a new partner who mirrors safety for you.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
Oh yeah. I'm going to go down the rabbit hole when I get home.
Yep.
I'm going to pour my little glass of champagne and I'm going to go down a rabbit hole, which is like, just like therapy.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I love it. It's food for the soul to just like get into something.
Yeah.
And like be fascinated.
Yeah.
I love all of this.
Oh,
like,
good.
This has been like a really spiritual day.
Oh,
from
good.
The tarot. And it really isn't. It's not coincidence. Mm-hmm. Like, I was not anticipating doing a tarot card reading today, but my friends like came into town. They said they wanted to do it, and they've been talking about it all the time. And I'm like, all right, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
And we'll schedule it. Then I got to tell you all about it.
Look at that.
Energy healing.
See, put it on your manifesto.
I am. Mm-hmm. I love this.
Yep. Well, thank you for being here and for sharing. Is there anything else you wanted to say before we go? How do people find you? How do they get your jewelry? All that good stuff.
I have overshared. But what I have not shared is you can find me at Reagan Charleston on Instagram. You can find me at my law firm at awkolaw.com. And my jewelry is at reagancharleston.com.
All right.
Very easy.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being here. I loved having you. So interesting. And if anyone's interested in the molecules, it's Masaru Emoto is the guy, the scientist who discovered that the apple or the plants about the energy and the
mold
and all that.
You're going to have to text that to me.
Yeah.
Masaru
Emoto.
Emoto.
E-M-O-T-O.
I got that wrong. Yeah. Okay.
Like emotion. Just remember.
Okay. Yeah. I'll remember that.
Yeah.
Good one. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here.